Welcome to the world of Muscle Smoke and Mirrors, where it's all about muscle, health, history, training, nutrition, bodybuilding, and state of mind.
Hey, listener, we're back with another episode of The World of Muscle. I am one of your hosts, Tamash, and on the other line, I have
Randy Roach.
Randy Roach. Hey, Randy, how's it going?
Too bad. I forgot my name there for a second.
Almost. Well, I didn't forget your name. I was kind of cueing you.
Yeah. But, I caught on.
You did. You woke up. In today's episode, we want to cover, in episode 2, I believe it was, we mentioned your incredible 40-pound weight gain in about 6 months or a little bit over 6 months. But we didn't really mention, actually, we did mention why you dropped quite a bit of weight. Well, actually, we did allude to it, never mind.
Yeah, we did.
So, you know, besides calling it a yo-yo diet, can you, and that's some feedback we got was that we don't have a lot of fluff and, hey, how's it going? What's going on? And the point of that is because we want to get straight to the point. We don't want to kill your time just by us saying things that may not matter or fluff.
I have a hard enough time zeroing in on what I want to say, sometimes even writing, get to the point.
Yes, exactly. Yes, and we're going to keep you on, in line.
Yeah.
And back to the topic at hand. So today's topic at hand is what happened? How did you actually drop a whole bunch of weight?
It was actually 45 pounds that I gained back.
45, okay.
Yeah. As I mentioned, I have this skin condition that I'm dealing with. And it started back in 2012, and it kind of went into remission and came back hard in late 2013 and right through into the summer of 2014. My skin was just reacting in such a way, I was just spewing off heat. You know, if you just pull your shirt away from your neck,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's almost like looking through a toaster. You know,
right?
Looking into a toaster, the hume that kind of comes up. Before that, I was drinking some wine here and there. So I got rid of that. So it affected my calories a little bit. But other than that, my calories were basically close to the same. But by the time of July of 2014, and you can see this, as we mentioned, in the two YouTubes that were just released from Rogers TV, I did two TV shows in July with Mike Petrella, in the gym with Mike Petrella. And my weight had dropped down to 160 pounds. And even that day that I did those shows, I really wasn't feeling all that great. But you can see it. One of my friends who was staying with me for a little while here, he watched it on. It was on TV, and he sees me now at over 200 pounds, and he couldn't believe it. He said, "Holy shit!" He said, "I didn't realize you lost that much weight." So I thought it was starting to worry me because I wasn't on a diet. I just was eating my normal raw clean. I was very lean, very muscular. My waist was about 29 inches, but I don't have a big bone frame, and that. And even when I get really lean, I can still have a fair amount of muscle, but I just don't look that good. I look better when I have more body fat on me because my fat distributes both intermuscularly, subcutaneous, everything. Like I just get bigger. Like shirts, I just get bigger all around. I don't get a gut on me really that much. But I thought, you know, this is alarming me. I don't want to go any lighter than this. So I just started to, I based my diet off a gallon of raw milk. And there were some foods because of my condition. I've been tested by both the alternative and orthodox medicine here. One of my clients is my physician. So I was tested. And we were looking at all sorts of allergies, potentials, but whether there's a relationship with the Stevens-Johnson syndrome that I had that almost killed me when I was 2 years old. And that is like a fatal attack of the dermis. And I've had skin issues, several eruptions through my life, right? So it didn't surprise me that this is a skin-related thing. But go ahead.
Did anyone ever dig deeper for that heat that was coming off you? Because that, you know, you just Whenever your body produces heat.
My skin wasn't regulating properly.
Okay, so that's where the calories went, right?
Yeah.
You went to warm up the room.
No problem. I could warm up the room. Mass exfoliation of skin. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, and it was.
Yeah, you burnt your own skin off, literally, from the inside out.
Whatever is common. We could determine that it was most likely my histamine cup is full. And I do have to be careful with certain foods that have more histamines. Like, we live in a culture, our society today is doing a lot of paleo. Mm-hmm. So we're back to eating a lot of meat. People are into fermenting vegetables, you know, for the cultures and stuff like that. Those are all very high histamines, and we are having more histamines around the world issues because our diets have changed where the meats are hanging longer. The longer a meat stay, they're like fresh meat and stuff's fine. Fresh foods are fine, and even foods with histamine are fine. Because we have the enzymatic machinery to deal with it. Mine seems to be knocked out for some reason, and I'm not dealing with it. So when I eat certain foods that are aged, I really feel it, right? And for some reason, I loved eating my raw steaks, but the raw meat, we've noticed, was speckling my skin and stuff. So I shifted to a gallon, and for 1 gallon, that's basically 4 liters for the metric people. And I would drink between 4 and 5 liters of raw milk a day. And I switched to raw chicken, which a couple of raw chicken breasts didn't bother me.
Speaking of, some of you may not be aware of Randy's choice of food. So that we'll cover that in a future episode in deeper or greater depth.
Most of the people but continue. Out there, I've been talking about raw food eating ever since before my books were even released back in 2006.
Yes.
So most people are aware that I do that. I'm not going to push that here. I'm just telling you what I was eating.
Yes. No, just in case anyone was wondering, we'll cover that. I actually do want to cover it because it is interesting.
What I had to do as well is I had to add more starch. Cook starch, which I don't care. I never mind carbohydrates. You know, I my diet usually is lower in carbohydrates, but it's never a zero carb diet because it's just not practical, right?
Plus, your milk has enough sugar in it.
Do the math. I think there's almost 200 grams of carbohydrate right in the dairy lactose alone, right? But that's like, I like that. I like animal. It's one of the possibly the only animal carbohydrate out there, lactose, and it's easy on the blood sugar and stuff. But there was plenty of carbs, but I had to add starch because starch through history would put weight on me. And yeah, it would be fat. Like, I mean, I put 45 pounds on it. No, it's not all muscle.
But only 43 pounds of it is muscle.
Well, I wouldn't even go that far. It's fat, muscle, and water. I was dehydrated as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Your skin was dry as heck.
Yes, it could be very dry. Like I said, it changed on the hour. You could look at me and you wouldn't know I had anything. And 2 days later, or a day later, or 5 hours later, it's like, why are you so red? Well, when I went to one of the specialists, and I had to take my shirt off. We just sat there and watched my skin turn red in the air. It was bizarre. So, and he said, that's what he's saying. He looked at, he said, no, you know, it's funny. I wasn't allergic to anything. Like, we would check dairy for sure. All the stuff that everybody's allergic to, wheat, dairy, I had no allergies to it. But he said, he wasn't even interested in that. He was just looking at my skin. He goes, yeah, your barrier is gone. But they want to put me on cancer drugs. These former methotrexate is called. Not on the doses and stuff like that, but I said, no, I'm not there yet. I believe the body can correct itself. I'm going through something for whatever, and I'll just leave it go for now. I did have to use any histamines because I couldn't sleep. The itching was unbelievable. You know, I've talked to other people as well who have something like it, and they like literally scratch till they bleed. I never really got to that point. I was exfoliating, but yeah, actually a couple of points now that I think of it got a little bit, but I can't see, so I don't know if I was bleeding or not.
Well, I remember sitting on your couch and having a conversation with you, and you're just scratching. I'm like, stop scratching. It's going to bleed.
And I told you where to go, too. Everybody said, don't scratch, don't scratch. Yeah, you try not scratching. Yeah. It's insane. But anyway,
let's get back on topic. So you're down 45 pounds or 40 pounds.
I had to up my calories. And I found with the amount of raw dairy, so I got a lot of protein going into me, carbs, good fats going into me, to chicken. The chicken, I would sometimes add some butter to add some fat to the chicken because the chicken breasts are a little too lean. But I had lots of protein going into me, carbohydrates and fats and starch, carbohydrate. Now, I'd be careful with the starch. It'd be like maybe once a day that I would have potatoes or rice or my friend Patty, she would make these awesome rice-based gluten-free buns. Even though I'm not really allergic to gluten, I just do better on them. I just feel better on some of that stuff for some people, right? So I my training was Like I'm 56. I'm gonna be 56. So I train 3 days a week. It's a lot. So I, you know, growing when I was younger, I could do 5 days, and for a long time I did four. But I experimented with twice. But I said I could train three times a week if I set it up in certain ways, and still recover. Because you found like you have to recover in order to keep progressing, right? And eating, and all of a sudden I just start getting bigger. My neck, everything is just grew, and I went from 160 all the way up to my heaviest in the past couple weeks was 208. Now a lot of I think that the eight is some water because I had more carbohydrates on the weekend, right? But
so let me just a quick question. You said that even while you were losing the weight, you were eating roughly the same minus the alcohol, same amount of food.
I never starve myself. I don't have to. I have a fairly fast metabolism anyway.
So
I never
so to when you how much more did you have to eat, or how much, whether it's more calories or just volume of food?
Had to add maybe 40% more. Actually, maybe I almost doubled my milk. Okay. I would have definitely doubled my milk. And
did everything else stay the same and just up the milk, or did you start eating plus the starches?
Well, when you look at the fact that I had to bring the beef out, I lost a lot of fat that way because my beef was fattier than the chicken, and I was eating a lot of beef in a day. So my calories went on, like, you know, I want to look at about 2,500 calories, 25 to 3,000 for all the dairy I was drinking. The chicken was like another few, 300 or 400 in the starch. So it's close to 4,000 calories a day.
Relative to what it was, what was the maintenance that actually made you?
I was probably always supposed to be about 3.
Okay, so you increased it by 25%. That's I just wanted to put numbers to it because that's how my brain works.
I could be wrong on that if I never really sat down. I had to sit down and look exactly what I was eating. But I definitely had increased my calories because
roughly a quarter more makes sense to me.
And like, I mean, when we grew up in our era, like the 70s and 80s, well, especially in the 80s, this changed. The 70s was still old school where it was like you get big, you eat big, you get big and build muscle, right? Mm-hmm. But then in the 80s came a lot of bullshit with the low fat, the fat's going to kill you and all this stuff, and everything changed. The whole dietary paradigm changed. And then they got to telling people, well, you're best to get lean and stay lean and build muscle slowly. Well, that doesn't work for a natural guy. If you're on growth hormone and steroids, sure. But for a natural guy to say, well, just slowly add this, a few. You only need to, I remember Mike mentioned doing this. I'm not attacking Mike here, but he would boil it down to, you know, just to gain a certain pound of muscle, you only have to eat 16 extra calories a day.
Well, yeah, I remember.
You know, calories in, calories out. That's not how it works, especially when the hormones are involved.
Absolutely. And
so what happens is most people get frustrated because they can't gain after once they – when you're getting lean and you're down like say 10% or lower, to try to build muscle and maintain it and lose body fat without drugs, especially as you're getting old, is not easy. And probably I don't even know if it's possible. When you're extremely overweight and your body's shifting and stuff, that's different. But when your body's trying to hang on, your body doesn't like getting really lean. It likes to hold on to body fat for many different reasons that we don't have to get into here.
And also the fact how well trained you are. Like your training age makes a big difference too.
Yeah.
If you're just starting to work out now, you're going to put on muscle easily. You've been doing it for 30 years. It's a little tougher.
Now for the listener out there, I've never been 208 before. So I was around 203, 205 20 years ago, but I didn't like it because I thought I was too fat. I'm holding my weight. I don't mind being 200 pounds right now. Yeah, I'm carrying body fat, but I'm carrying a better 200, 205 pounds than I did 20 years ago. Josh Trentini did this too. Josh is a former Mr. USA, and he's a raw food eater too. And his best competing weight used to be about 184, 185. I think often before that was just in the high 170s. And he just ate at 40 years of age. He just ate tons of raw milk, meat, and cooked food too. Okay, it wasn't all raw. And he went right up to 240 pounds. He had never been 240 pounds. He used to classify himself at 195. If he ever hit 200 pounds, he referred to himself, a quote, as a pig, because it was too fat for him. But now he was carrying 240. Now he competes at 200, 195, and 200. Okay, so, but I mean, that whole notion of that got trashed, that, you know, you don't build up, for natural guys, you have to. And then you want to slowly take the body fat out. The problem, though, today is that competition only looks at how muscular you are. Mm-hmm. Do you have any fat? For a natural guy to try to get to that saran wrap, forget it. You know, without drugs, you're going to burn off a lot of your muscle. That's why I tell people, don't. Most people want a good look, and the competitive look can't be held.
No.
And it's not healthy. Why bother?
It's freaking hard to get to that point. It's more willpower than anything else.
Yeah, you can carry a 1950s or even a 1960s physique look all year round, mm-hmm. if you want. Easier, because you don't have striated glutes. Who cares, right? I find more and more people don't even like that.
That's true. Just let me steer you back a little bit. People may not be aware of how tall you are. Just to give a little bit of context to the weight.
Just around under 5'11". When I was younger, I was measured, the doctor's got over 5'11". I think with years of gravity and weights, I think I'm just below 5'11".
Okay, so roughly 5'11". And Josh, since you mentioned him.
Josh is a little taller than me. He might be 5'11 or 6 feet.
Okay. Just, you know, weight and height kind of go together.
Oh, yeah. Josh's a great bodybuilder. I don't have his, he's good. He's a good bodybuilder. And he's competing now, but not right now, but he was competing last year and stuff at much heavier than he ever did before. And now he could probably walk around and look great at 210, 215, where he said he used to be a fat pig at 195, 200. Cool. So you have to allow yourself to eat.
Yes.
And to train and to build that muscle, and then don't rip it off so quickly. Just slowly moderate your calories and take it off slow and come into a more muscle gain that way. But if you try to get down to have your abs ripped all the time, then try to slowly put muscle on without drugs, the most genetically gifted mesomorph may be able to do something like that, but most people won't be able to do that.
Now, let's go back to your training. So while you were dropping the weight, what was your training like?
Training, it stayed basically around the same things. I like push-pull. I like reps, all different ranges. That's an entirely different.
That is a difference. I'm just trying to compare your
session
weight gain.
Would never exceed an hour. They would be between 40, 45 minutes. Even if I was doing an upper or lower body or a tire push system, pull system, or whatever I did. I don't like – sometimes up here in the summertime with the humidity, it's almost like you're breathing water. Mm-hmm. And I don't like training in that environment, so I would go to a body part, you know, just to make it short, 20 minutes or whatever.
Yes.
But I don't like training the body parts, which is popular because you go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Your joints do not get rested, mm-hmm. because those joints, even when you're working a different body part, that joint is still
doing
articulation. And I find that I don't recover. I like a good sometimes 5 nights of recovery. For example, I like it for a long time, and then with my clients, I love different variations of push-pulls, and I'll give them 4 different routines that we'll cycle through, and all different rep ranges and mm-hmm. stuff. But I got a little, you know, people get bored. You got to change it. So right now, I am doing, today when we're done here, Monday I did chest back, and I want a day off after each one. And now I'm going to crowd it a bit. I'm going to do shoulders, arms. Well, I'm going to work those same muscles again in a short period of time. But I'm not going to train that upper body at all, really, until Monday again. So
okay.
Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday. Now, I'll do legs on Friday. So, but I mean, it doesn't disturb my upper body. Those joints are healing. But still systemically, the argument is that you still train. But my joints get that nice long, my upper body joints get that nice long rest period.
Perfect.
That's what I'm doing right now.
Now, compared to, so I'm still trying to get back to the to the topic, which was your 45-pound weight gain.
Yeah.
What was different in your training before, when you were losing the weight on the normal food that you used to eat beforehand?
I was getting weaker.
You were getting weaker.
Yeah.
And what was the training difference? So,
not much.
In the 6 months, you still train 3 times a week, just like what you just told us. So not much different.
Not much difference.
So it was mostly the food that gave you the edge or the weight gain?
Oh yeah. Training is very important.
Yes.
It's
the consistency.
Especially through what age and what your genetics are like and recovery and the rep ranges and stuff. But I would just notice that I was getting strong. You just feel like you can lift the house, even though I will never go for those big lifts anymore. I've done a 500-pound natural deadlift without any assisted gear, But I mean, I had a pull, and I ended up one time hurting my butt. I won't do that. I don't need to go there anymore.
No.
Like, I don't need to. I'll do reps. I'll do reps and stuff like that. Or I had things called triples where I work in triples and that, but only in a way that I'm moving rapidly with minimal rest. So it kind of balances it off. And you do it in exercise that you track very well. Form's got to be dead on. Getting rid of all the cheating and really work the muscle through its full range. I'm a believer in working the muscle through its full range and no momentum. Very. Mm-hmm. No momentum, because I was 35.
That's when you mess up your joints.
Yeah, but I put an inch on my arms. My arms had never, from the age of 17, all through my 20s. Well, now minus 4 years of a terrible vegan experience, but my arms would only be like 17 inches pumped mm-hmm. after a workout. Of course, you measure them only after a workout, right? That's the only time you measure any body part.
Yeah,
but I was consistent with that, so. It was when I was 35, and I think that's roughly around the time I pulled my head out of my ass. And I thought, you know what, I'm just going to slow down, go through the full range of motion, and take the momentum up. My arms finally went up and even slightly over 18 inches at 35, right? Just mm-hmm. changing the way I was training. So training is important. But obviously getting the calories the body's looking for to grow.
Yes.
You got to put a bit of fat. Fat's synonymous with the strength anyways. The whole subject of fat has been so maligned.
But in order to, sorry to cut you off about the fat, because I don't think many people want to hear about it. I don't. but what I want to get back to is, yes, the extra calories you need, but you also need the stimulus of training so that the body knows to build muscle and not put it into fat.
Oh, God,
yeah. Not as much of it anyway.
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, I would have just got fat.
So
right?
It's not just eating more, but you also have to train. So to summarize the whole episode is you had a skin condition.
Yeah.
Whatever anyone wants to label it. I'm sure they have names for it.
Yeah, toxic dermatitis, like one of them's calling it. Others are certain variations of eczema and stuff like that.
Okay, so it's got a label or two or three.
Yeah.
And that increased your body heat, which probably made you lose a lot of calories and heat, so you needed to and you lost roughly 40 pounds?
I was only about 185, 190, so I dropped like 30 pounds.
Okay, so you dropped about 30 pounds at about 5'11".
Yeah, a little under 5'11", I would say. I'll get somebody to measure me one of these days.
Maybe one of these days. Next time I'm over, we'll get the true height. We'll take your high heels off.
And then you can measure my 22-inch arms?
Yes.
Get the truth?
Yes, at 5'11". So you dropped 30 pounds. Your calories remained the same even though you were losing weight. Then you didn't like it. You were getting weak. So you upped your calories roughly 25%.
Or more.
Give or take, or more.
Yeah.
But your training remained the same.
Yeah, I added starch to my raw food diet too.
And you added starch to your raw food diet once a day max.
Yeah.
Maybe sometimes a little more on the weekend.
I wasn't religious about that, but it was basically on average like one good carb. I like to keep the carbs controlled, right? Fats and proteins liberally, carbohydrates strategically controlled.
Exactly. So in about a little over 6 months, you're above what you used to be, 190-ish, and now you're at 205, 208. 208 is your biggest weight, and you're not fat. I mean, I've seen you and you're not. So
I would like to come down probably when I'm done here to about 195, but be at a way more, even more muscular 190 than I was for years. I
started
at 185 to when I did my 500 pound deadlift, I was only 180 when I did that because I was working for a triple body weight deadlift. Like, it was, let me see, to July, August, September, October, November, December, January, February, 8 months. Yeah.
8 months. Okay. So forget.
Eight months.
8 months. And what's the, I mean, any downfalls or any negative things that happened through these 8 months?
No, not at all.
So the skin condition is getting better, or is it just staying the same or not getting worse?
The big difference this year, last year at this time, I had tremendous edema in my legs. It was ridiculous. I always wonder why people always say, oh, my ankles are swelled. I said, well, what's wrong with you? I've never had that. Last year,
I had
enormous. My calves and that were swollen right up. And it's a bit of my wrist, but that's gone. Okay. But the skin is still like, it's in the summertime with the humidity, it will be better. I just want to continue going with what I'm what I'm doing. But with the diet wise, the takeaway here is, especially for the drug free bodybuilder, if you want to gain muscle, you have to eat. But I don't mean no alcohol here. That's one of the problems I find with a lot of guys, even though I train, there's too much alcohol involved, and that throws everything off.
You have to eat the sugar and the calories.
And you can eat, you can have some of these foods that you enjoy, but it just can't be a free-for-all pig out, or you will start putting on too much body fat, more than muscle, right? You have to find that happy ground with you that, I'm getting a little fat here, but I'm getting stronger and bigger. As long as you're getting stronger and stronger, you know that you're on the right course, you're building muscle, and you can slowly shave that fat back without taking off the muscle.
Mm-hmm.
You'll look better. So that's why the bodybuilders of old cycled.
So the action steps for the listener, what can they do if they want to put on muscle with a little bit of fat?
Just start looking at your diet. And again, when you up the calories, I would recommend you have to up the fat and the proteins. Okay. When I say up the proteins, I do not believe in upping them in protein powders. If somebody wants to take the protein powder, fine. But to build your calories up on powders, I don't think that's healthy. I don't think the body and the kidneys, that's good for the kidneys. The protein is fine in a raw state, because in a raw state, it typically comes with a lot of fat. That's why I like the whole raw milk. It was more than, I think with raw milk, you look at it as over 50 to 60% fat, right? Mm-hmm. And the protein's the lowest part in it. The carbs are actually even a little higher than the proteins. But it's hard to get fat eating fat and proteins naturally, and especially raw. It's the carbohydrates you have to put in and be careful and control them. You do not want to be eating starches morning, day, and night, or you're going to get too fat. And also, don't be alarmed when you bring in the carbohydrates and the water comes in. Yeah, it's going to spill out over into your skin. It's going to look like, I'm getting really fat, but you're not. It's water. I can look like I've gained 10 pounds of fat just by water.
Mm-hmm.
And don't worry about that. When you're hydrated like that, your muscles are mechanically leveraged and you're like very strong.
And so, one other point that you mentioned earlier, which I forgot to mention in the summary, is recovery and rest.
Yeah, that's why I said after those, I pushed the upper body within Monday, Wednesday, and I want those five nights from Wednesday to Monday before that upper body gets it again. You can feel it if the weights aren't floating. You're not recovering. Mm-hmm. But that's enough. I think we've done enough for that.
Great. I think that covers it. If there's any questions, you can leave a note under the episode at theworldofmuscle.com. And I will speak with you later, Randy.
Okay, Tomas.
Thank you for listening to The World of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors. We hope you've enjoyed the content of this episode. We're looking forward to sharing more next time.